from stpcatalyst.com.
You know, still have people. How do you come back to quote normal life after that?
When this premiered in 2017, it was a huge success around here. I had just moved back to town and I didn't see it. I'm here to be honest with you, but I heard people were talking about it for weeks and weeks. Is that gratifying as a playwright, like to finally see something on its legs?
Oh yeah, yeah. Now it had been in development for 7 years before it was performed in upstate New York and then by Tampa Rep.
So the upstate New York was the first production.
That was the first production.
When I said in the beginning that Tampa Reps was the premiere, I wasn't quite.
The Southeastern premiere.
Okay, that works. Peter.
Yes, sir.
Are you there?
I am.
There you are. You finished in 2016, you finished August Wilson's American Century Cycle with American Stage.
I did.
Explain to the folks who are watching what that was and why that's not only a monumental achievement, but just a great undertaking, a massive thing, but a satisfying thing for you as a theater artist to do that.
Bill, look, Stephanie Goulart was a tremendous success here in the Bay Area, working at Capitol Rep up in Sacramento. She made her mark there. She moved on to American Stage in St. Petersburg and began her tenure there. And she was given the 10 play cycle, the last two. In her wisdom, she called me to direct a Jitney.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, as I was online at the time, and I was on Facebook. She said, "Peter, like, Stephanie Goulart, hi."
So you knew her already from when she
was. Oh yes, oh yes, yeah, yeah. I knew her.
Good. Thanks for making that connection for me.
Correct. Yeah. And then she invited me to come up and direct Jitney, and I immediately accepted. And then I panicked, but then I realized what an opportunity. She was given this cycle, and to ask me to come in and direct Jitney.
Yeah.
And I did, and was a tremendous success, visual, critical success. And then the following year, to come back and direct Joe Turner, which was the culmination of the 10-play cycle. Now, right. Most of your audiences know, they're smart people, that, and you're very good at this, that American Stage is one of only 13 theaters in the world who has completed the entire cycle productions, not just readings. There are lots of theaters who have done the readings of them.
Right.
But the entire 10-play cycle, fully realized, fully embellished, fully cast, set, costumes, etc. That's amazing. American Stage has made history with that. And for Stephanie to trust that final production to my hands was... Uh-huh. Was a great embrace of her belief in me as a director, certainly, and then to come back and direct Raisin in the Sun, and then Pipeline, and then most recently Skeleton Crew.
All three of those were complete knockouts. I got to tell you that Raisin in the Sun. I'm a big. You can tell Enoch that I said hi because I'm a big fan of his.
So am I. As you know, I cast him in Raisin and I cast him again in Skeleton Crew. Yeah. I think he's one of America's finest actors. And as a matter of fact, he's in this reading of.
I know.
Yeah, so you can tell I'm a big fan of his. But it was a great tribute, and it was huge for me as a director. And it was huge for Stephanie, and it was huge for American Stage and St. Petersburg and the nation to have completed this cycle as successfully as American Stage has. And I got to work with Kim Sullivan, who did all 10 of the cycle plays at American Stage. So that was it was just an amazing time for the theater for me as a director as well.
Talk to me for a minute about the company you're with in the Bay Area there, the African American Theater Company. Is it primarily a Shakespeare company?
Yes, it's the African American Shakespeare Company.
Okay.
That's our title. It's been around for 25 years. Sherry Young, Sherri. Sherry Young is the founder and executive director. 25 years ago, she graduated American Conservatory Theater here in San Francisco and realized as an actor there were no venues for young Black actors to perform in the Bay Area. So she thought, well, how difficult could it be? Let me start my own theater company. And she did. And she created the African American Shakespeare Company. It's been around for 25 years. This is my 11th year as artistic director. the classics with color. That's our statement. That's our mission statement, and we part of a mission statement. And what we do is we take young actors, certainly established actors, but we want to make sure that the young actors in the Bay Area and the region get an opportunity to perform shows that they may not get to perform in other theaters in the region. We want to make sure that they strengthen their resume, they get good training, good directing, understanding directors. We put in wonderful, creative, professional, veteran actors with them so that they can get that knowledge and that training. And then they can take it from there and move on. Some do, and then they come back and work with us again. But I just want to make sure that I give back from what I received as a young actor in New York City Performing Arts High School, the Juilliard School, NYU, when I traveled to England to study there. I learned a lot from my mentors, and I just want to give back to young actors here in the Bay Area as well.
Well, I'm gonna confess to you both that the first 3 minutes of this recording, I got a red light. They're missing, which means that I hit the wrong button. This happens. It's live, sort of live. So I'm gonna say once again to the camera. I told you it was candid and informal. That we're here with these two artists talking about Flying, which is a virtual production of Sheila Cowley's play. That is going to be presented virtually. Again, that's the key word here. August 16th, which is a Sunday, 3:00 for Tampa Repertory Theater. See, I said that at the beginning, but it didn't get recorded. So, Sheila, does Flying work virtually? I mean, were you skeptical in the beginning? Can we do that?
No.
You were not?
Why not? This is the third play of mine that will be read on Zoom in the last few months, different theaters. And I've done several Zoom projects already. We're working. I took a training from, Peter J. Kua, who works at American Conservatory Theater, live online theater, you know. So I think this is just the way things are now, and they're going to be this way for a while, and you just have to adapt.
Well, then I'll go back to
you. Tampa Rep asked, I'll just say, when they asked me originally about recreating their production on Zoom, I recaptured that. I said, let's do something different because the play has always been written for diverse casting. And that's happened here and there and around the country and never a full cast. So I said, let's do it this way. And I'm so grateful they embraced that.
Well, let's go there then. This is a BIPOC cast. This is an all Black cast. And Sheila, I think maybe Amelia was the one who said to me, that was an idea that really did appeal to you.
I wouldn't be interested in doing it any other way.
Oh, well, okay. I didn't want to say it. If you say it, it's okay.
No, it's true.
That's what she told me.
Because, yeah, why not? You know, if you're going to do it, use this new medium to do something different and something I've been waiting for a theater company to do because it's been written that way. There's been a note in there, this play is written for diverse, historically inaccurate, because most of the women who did fly military planes were white. But I don't ever run a right-of-way play that only white people can be. So I have always said, you know, cast anybody who's a good actor, you know, and there have been some wonderful Black and Latinx actors who've performed around the day in this. And I'm just delighted that there's this amazing cast here.
I'm looking at the cast, and honestly, as I said, Enoch was the only person I recognized. And I was going down the names and looking at their credits and going, have I seen this person? Have I seen this person? But tell me about the cast, both of you.
I've worked with Stephanie Roberts on a number of plays. And just a couple months ago, we did a three-week run of live bedtime plays for kids performed over the telephone. And she
I heard about that.
Wonderful voice actor.
Peter, you want to share some of this?
Yeah. Enoch, of course, one of my favorite actors in the country. Yeah. Michael Asbury is a local actor out here in the Bay Area. And, you know, of course, Stephanie had done readings of it before. Am I right there, Sheila?
That's true.
She and I met when my play, Strange Courtesies, was being read at American Stage.
Yes, I remember now. Yes.
One of the finalists in the 21st Century Voices. So, you know, it's a terrific cast. It's an all-star cast. We have actors who are just so talented and so well-versed in the Zoom platform. Renata, Enoch, Michael Asbury, they've all done Zoom broadcasts, Zoom productions before. So they all know the sound, the effects and so on, how to rehearse it and so on. So I'm very lucky to have those actors. And, you know, Sheila talked about the casting, and I will share this with you. And Sheila, you know, you and I spoke about this, and I was trepidatious to start with when Sheila and Amelia were talking about an all black cast, because the play is not, it talks about the Wasps, as Sheila mentions in her text. Although most of the women who were in the Wasps were almost all white, Sheila says, no, I don't want my play to be an all white play. And as a black actor and a director and being in the business for so long, I thought, but it's not our story. It's not my story. It's not people that look like me. It's not our story. Why is this something that you want to do? And as Sheila said, this is how she envisioned it, and this is what she wishes to do, and that's fine. But some friends of mine are saying, well, but you know, is it written in a way that that black female actresses can, is it going to be embarrassing in any way to speak? And I said, you know what? I've read this play maybe 5 times. I've got numerous notes all over the text of the play. The language of the play does not indicate black, white, yellow, red, tall, short, fat, skinny. It does not. The language of the play is very clear, is very open, is very lucid, is very lyrical.
Something I was going to ask you about.
Anybody can speak this language. So it's not, it doesn't come off as white. It doesn't come off as black. It doesn't come off as Latino. It doesn't come out of, it's this lyrical story. And the way I want to approach it is not from black women were not part of this organization at that particular time. I want to approach this play as an American play, an American story, sure. A play about women who are brave, who are heroic, who have taken on this task of aiding the American effort to win World War II. That's my take on this play. It takes place in a hometown. I won't give much of it away. It takes place in a small town, small airfield in Middle America. It's about these women who are tasked with an amazing job. And the fact that the male hierarchy of that town, or the male hierarchy in general, don't trust the fact that these women can do their jobs. They don't trust the fact that these women are skilled enough to take a plane apart and put it together again.
That could be anywhere, any generation, any race.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's my take on it. And I will talk to my actors about that. And I will talk to anybody about that. And I think Sheila, I don't want to put words in her mouth, and I don't want to tell her, but as I look at it from my point of view, from my lens, that's what the play is about to me. Sheila did not write anything about race in the play. She didn't write anything about black or white. She didn't write anything about America's political views at the time. It's a story. It's a small town story about these very brave, courageous women and the people who come in touch with them. And I think it's a wonderful play in that aspect. Look, if we were doing a full length production with 4 weeks of rehearsal, we would have lots of dramaturgical stuff, and we'll talk in depth about, you know, a mixed race cast. And I will probably, if I were given the option to direct that play, I would probably have more of a mixed cast in it to show the entire universal aspect of the play. But this is an experiment. This is a work in progress. This is an experiment that Tampa Bay and Amelia Sargent and Sheila wished to put out to the world. And I'm proud to be part of it. But I just know that people are going to, and I mentioned this to Sheila, this is no new news here. I think there's going to be people who will say, oh, wait a minute, historically, they were white. Historically, what are you guys doing? That you're, well, good. Let's start a conversation about that. That's fine with me.
You know, I'm thinking about Shakespeare. I'm thinking about so many things that
I think about Shakespeare all the time.
I know you do. You know a lot more than I do. But my point is that race doesn't enter into it. You know, a story, a good story is a good story. And I hope you're nodding, Sheila. I see you're down there in the bottom of my screen, kind of going like this. Because really, at the end of the day, what does it matter? You know, human emotions are the same.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And Shakespeare, Chekhov, Ibsen, Shaw, Pirandello, my gosh, we can name it all. I don't have to be a white, I don't have to be white to play Mozart, right? Yeah. As long as I played beautifully, right? So I think no matter what playwright, we look at, you know, it's fine. There is, however, a consideration to make. For example, I parallel this play with Black Eagles about the Tuskegee Airmen. Now,
You did that one. I saw that on your website.
I did that at my theater. I directed that. I was in the original cast in New York for years ago.
Right.
And, but to have white actors do that play would be absolutely, that just won't happen.
No, because it's a thing, yeah.
It's a thing, but also the Wasps are a thing. It is a thing. It was only white women in 1945 America. It was a thing. Now, as I said, people will say, but how dare you guys have this with black actors? But I think the story itself, Sheila did not put them in offices with colonels and generals. You know, Sheila didn't write anything about race.
It's about people. It's a story.
It's a story. It's an American story about a small town airfield with these women who worked very, very hard. That could be any, as you said earlier, Bill, any race, any ethnicity. And I think that's how I'm going to look at it as a director. And Sheila, I hope that's okay with you as I look at it that way.
I'm very grateful for your perspective.
How far into rehearsals are you guys?
We haven't started.
I forgot you're professionals. You do it like the week before.
Well, you know, we have, as you said, we're doing it on Zoom. So we have limited time. We've got 1 week of rehearsal and one day to get it right. So we open and close on the same day. But as Sheila said earlier, and as you said, we have a tremendous cast. It's a wonderful play. It's a 90, 95 minute play, maybe less depending on my pace, and I like quick pace. So we're looking at about 90 minutes, probably no intermission, maybe a quick pause. In the middle of it, but it's a story that I think needs to be heard, and it's a lovely, generous story about family and love and expectations and hometown beliefs it's a story about love. It's a love story. In a sense, to me personally,
it has no color. You know that's at the end of the day, that's what it is.
As a black man in America, I never want anyone to say I didn't know you were black. Stop it. Don't. But I think the play should not be looked at. As a play with color or race. It's a story of bravery. In my blurb that I sent to Sheila and to Amelia, it's a story about courage. Mm-hmm. And it's a story about love. It's a story about a strong belief in what these women stood for and what they stood up for, right? And that's what the play is to me. I don't ever want to say, oh, it's not a story about color. Oh my gosh, you're white, she's white. I'm not even gonna, people say, oh, I don't notice color. Yeah, you do, come on.
Yeah,
stop.
Yeah.
Right. But this is not what this play is about to me. When I first read it, and now that I'm gonna be directing this Zoom reading.
So rehearsal, my God. Before I go there, have you guys ever actually physically met? You ever been in the same room together?
Yeah, Sheila? I recorded a post for Creative Pinellas with Peter a couple years ago.
Again, you froze a little bit and I didn't hear what you said, Sheila.
I'm sorry, I recorded a podcast with Peter. It was a couple years of Pinellas. It was a lovely conversation, yeah.
I was in a beautiful home in St. Pete. Yeah, I walked upstairs to a lovely small studio and it was a podcast. I was, as a matter of fact, it was Joe Turner's Come and Gone. And that's where I met Sheila, and we had a lovely conversation. We were both interviewed and we were both talking about things. And then when I got home, she sent me the play to read, and I loved it. And then, so that's how we first met. But this is our first collaboration.
I've been in that room. I was fortunate. I don't remember what the occasion was, but somebody was talking to me about, and I've been up there. And Sheila, because the world never heard me talk about some of the audio engineering work that you do at the beginning, because I pushed button B instead of button A. So this is why I can't do what you do. The audio tours that you do for, let's say, for Shine, and I guess you and your husband work on that stuff together. It's a big production. That's got to change every year. Yeah, I mean, there's going to be new ones this year.
Yeah, we're working on that right now with Eugenie Bondurant recording at home instead of
at our
house. Are
you doing the drive-in?
Which is different. The drive-in is using the ones we've done in pre-padding each year. Okay. There are more murals, and they're visually descriptive tours. So they were originally designed to make the murals accessible to people with visual impairment. So that's why there's so much detail about what is here. It's actually the most difficult thing I've ever written, is trying to describe those, you know, give people a picture.
Do you look at images, or do you literally go out and soak
them? We go and see them.
You go out and stand in front of them.
Because part of it is, you know, where are they in the landscape?
What's the
impact of them?
How's the gig with Greta Penelas going? I see y'all stuff all the time.
Fortunate that there's so much wonderful arts, as you know, in this area to cover. And I've got great writers, and, you know, we just keep plugging away. It's shifted
wonderful
a lot in a few months to online arts, which was a little slow in the first few weeks that I was doing that. And now I can't even keep up with all the online visual art and theater. Well, and
Arts Coast Journal is always are you still doing the Arts End podcast too? You and Barbara still do
that? You know, that kind of slowed down because people can't come to our house to record now.
See, Peter, they can't that beautiful attic room with the studio.
Yeah, but they're doing other video content under the Arts End name.
Good. Glad to hear that. You start, this is where I left off before, you start rehearsal. I mean, this is in a week. So how many you have to coordinate all those people. They're all in their own individual places, right? So that's got to be a factor.
So we've got to make sure, and I've got a terrific stage manager, Amanda, we've got to make sure that every actor has a computer that's fast enough, that's capable enough to certainly, with internet, certainly, the speed enough to have an easy, smooth conversation. We need a background. We need a green screen, or what I actually have behind me is a sheet that's taped to a wall. Right? We need that.
That's good.
Oh, thank you. It's just literally a sheet with a photograph in front of it. So we want to make sure that the actors are well versed in the Zoom platform. So my stage manager will school the actors for the first 15-20 minutes about what is needed, right? What is needed for their computer? Do they need anything? Then we'll be sending. So I've already made up my prop list, my costume list, my music list. All the things, and I've sent it to my stage manager, I've sent it to my production manager, and they'll be sending props to the individual actors around the country, wherever they are. I think I'm the only, Michael Asbury and I are the only ones on the West Coast. Enoch, of course, is in Atlanta, and most of the other actors are in Florida.
I was going to ask if you send props and maybe costume pieces.
Yes.
You just answered it before I asked it.
Yeah, it has to be. We are embarking on a new way of working because of the pandemic. We are embarking on a new way of speaking, new languages, where actors are their own costume designers. Sometimes they're their own lighting designer. They're their own tech people, sound designers. Before this interview, I've got to make sure my light is on. I've got to make sure that my microphone, my camera is set. I've got to make sure that this is ready. My no sound, turn off my phone. Right, I've got to do all that. Usually that's done by tech people in the theater. So we're all sort of transformed into tech people on our own. So every actor
I missed the button at the beginning.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yes. So there are times when, you know, an actor may...
Yeah.
And the sound isn't on, right? So we've got to click that sound in order. So it's
disturbing, right?
Huh?
You put the fear of God in me right there, and you did. That
was great. Oh, thank you. But that's it. But it's fun. It's fun. And any play right now, we've got to think, how can we enhance this play? And with Sheila's play, there's a mockingbird, for example, in Sheila's play. Now, why is there a mockingbird? I can share with you, or I can have you be surprised when you see it. My interpretation of the mockingbird may be different than other interpretations of the mockingbird, but that sound to me is super important. If I tell you why it is, I may give away part of the story, and I won't do that.
Love.
But the sound to me is super important. It has to be clear, it has to be crisp, and it has to be exactly where Sheila put it. I'm not putting it anywhere else in any other way. It has to be so clear. The sound of the airplanes, the photographs of the airplanes, it sets the period and time. All those things are very, very important to me.
Those are things that I think maybe a lot, like you said, a lot of people don't think about all the elements that have to go into it in a virtual way.
Exactly. And most good playwrights, they may, like, for example, you may look at other playwrights in the world that the set itself is so important that it becomes, like, if there are four characters in the play, the set is the fifth. If there are five characters in the play, there's a photo, for example, in A Raisin in the Sun, Lorraine Hansberry speaks of having the photograph of Big Walter, as she calls him, prominent in the room. That is a character in the play. The set itself is a character in the play. So I think that sound that Sheila wants in that play, specifically placed in those particular parts of the play, is the other character in the play, literally and figuratively, right? So I want to make sure that that is clear. And I think, again, if I were directing this in a four-week rehearsal, oh my gosh, my set, the hangar, the soundscape, it would be
a real mockingbird.
I would probably hire a real mockingbird. But it has to be so specific that the set is almost a character in the play. In Shaw's plays, I don't know, Oscar Wilde's plays, the set is so important. So there are elements in this play that I cannot do without, even on a virtual landscape as we are talking in now.
Well, we are completely out of time, but I'm going to run over for a minute and just remind people that Sheila Cowling's Flying, directed virtually by L. Peter Callender, is August 16th, Sunday, at 3:00 in the afternoon, Eastern Time, and you can get tickets at tamparep.org. And it is followed by a talk back with both of these wonderful artists and the cast. So don't forget Tampa Bay. TampaRep.org. Yeah, I think I got it.
Got it. TampaRep.org.
Now I've got 20 minutes to turn this around and get it out here live. Sorry about the beginning. Thank you both for being here. It's been wonderful. I hope that we see you both again. Different projects. I'll be calling you again.
I would be happy to respond. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. Thank you.
A wonderful evening to you both.
Thank you, Sheila. I'll see you soon, Sheila.
Bye. Thank you.
From stpcatalyst.com.